Are you ready?
Now back to Heatwave Sports.
All right, guys, back here on Heatwave Sports, hour number two. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here. For Tim Oglesby, sitting solo. Not even for Tim Oglesby. Normally, it would be me and Timmy here. But we are sitting solo, all alone tonight. But I got you guys, 876-1340, 876-1340. Had a couple of great calls earlier. Jose, sports contributor. Mitchell Lenz joining us over from Chat Sports, talking a little Raiders and Brady. But we're going to move on to a little NCAA today because there were some absolutely devastating games in terms of what are we doing with seeding. What were there? We often talk, and I certainly often talk, about the rules are different for different conferences in college football. In the SEC, they play by a different set of rules, and their set of rules is very simple. You need two losses to be eliminated when everybody else in the country needs one. Traditionally, the ACC is the most dominant conference in America by a long mile. Normally, it's so unbelievably deep and dominant that the rules are a little bit different for them. But I'm not sure this year the ACC will hold that much water. So there's a possibility that today, the number one overall seed for Duke and the number one overall seed for Florida State has gone bye-bye. Florida State goes down as a 3.5-point favorite on the road to Clemson. Now, I will say this. I watched every moment of this game, and Florida State got robbed almost like you've never seen a team get robbed before. So, to break this game down real quick, Florida State at the end of the game, they are down by two with 16 seconds to go. They cause a breakup on an inbounds pass. Florida State steals the ball. They force Clemson to make a bad pass at half court. They steal the ball at half court, go down, slam it. They're up by one with about 15 and a half or 16 seconds to go. Okay, great. But there was a whistle. And the question was, did the Clemson player step out of bounds? Nope, they checked. Nope, he didn't step out of bounds. All right, did the Clemson player travel? Nope, he didn't travel. There was almost a seven-minute stoppage to talk about why there was a whistle, and they said it was an inadvertent whistle. So now, with 16 seconds to go, Florida State inbounds the ball. They inbound the ball. They take 8 or 9 seconds off the clock. They score with about 7 seconds to go. Clemson comes down, they score a last-second, zero time left on the clock, basket to win by one. Clemson storms the court, and the argument can be made, and was made by my Florida State alumni wife, who said, well, they didn't play defense at the end. And that argument is always there, absolutely. But the Clemson Tigers would have an opportunity to do that if the refs didn't blow the game. But in this case, for Florida State, even if you win the ACC tournament now, I don't know if you get a number one seed. I really don't. I know it's a volatile year, but I don't know if you get a number one seed. The Duke Blue Devils got blown out just a couple days ago, blown out by Wake Forest. And they go and they take on Virginia, a team I've been talking about for quite some time. A team that I said flat out, and I had the argument flat out with anybody that wanted to listen, Virginia would beat San Diego State. Head-to-head, I don't even think it's a contest. Virginia's rounding into form. Virginia's won 10 of 12. Virginia beats Duke. If Duke goes on to win the ACC tournament, I am still not sure if that's enough to get them a number one seed. So I think it's a devastating day all around for the top seeds. By the way, Baylor, I told you guys, the two teams that I told you 2 weeks ago, was the last time I was on these airwaves, and 2 weeks ago I told you, San Diego State's a fraud, Baylor's a fraud. At the time, Baylor was the number one team in the country. They've lost two games since I said that. At the time, San Diego State was unbeatable. It was ridiculous. They were an elite team in the ACC. That's what people were arguing. Well, they went out and got spanked as a 15.5-point home favorite. They're complete and utter frauds. No matter what Chris Wynn wants to tell you. They're frauds. And when I say frauds, guys, understand it's in context. Because this will probably be played on Monday morning, right? Or Monday afternoon. Because they love to listen to our show. I love that you guys like to listen. So take it in context and use it in the right context. When I say fraud, I mean they're not a championship team. You know, I just had a text message back and forth, and I said, yeah, listen, maybe San Diego State's a Sweet 16 team. I don't see them as an Elite Eight. I don't see them as a Final Four, and they're certainly not. You want to tell me that they're a Sweet 16 team? I could put up a minor argument, but I'll listen to your conversation. I think they have as much chance of winning the championship game, guys, as going out the first round. I really do. That's what I don't even know if San Diego State's going to win the Mountain West Championship. I'm not even sure. Not because the Mountain West is a good conference, because I don't believe San Diego State is a good team. That's a bad statement. They're a good team. I believe they're a great team. I don't think they're an Elite Eight team. I don't think they're a Final Four team. It could be a Sweet 16 team. Baylor, I said the same things about. Baylor showed me a lot of holes during the games when they were winning. Right now, there are two elite teams in America. The Kansas Jayhawks are the best team in America. I think they have flexed their muscles. They have shown it. They have shown it all year. They are that team. Kansas is number one. And Gonzaga has to be number two. Gonzaga's conference is better this year, and they are not beating teams. They're squashing them. Now, they were a 13-point favorite today. They didn't cover the spread. But they didn't cover the spread in a game where their biggest rival they beat by double digits. They're beating teams nightly by double. If they don't win by double digits, it's insulting at this point. Now, the conversation always goes to what will Gonzaga do into the tournament. Gonzaga's always getting to the Sweet 16. It's a matter of can they win it all. I look at Gonzaga right now and I go, I see Final Four team on them, at the very least Elite Eight. I look at Kansas and I go, I see Final Four team on them, at the very least Elite Eight. There's not a lot of other teams that I have any confidence in. I'm starting to gain confidence in Kentucky. Kentucky's a team that a couple of weeks ago as well, I told you, I'm buying on. I'm going to start making some money on them. They're going to pull away in the SEC, and that's exactly what they've done. Kentucky is a team that I have confidence in as well. So there are some teams out there that may be rounding into form. I told you I've liked Louisville all year. They play tomorrow, 12-point favorite. You know, they'll probably win. They'll probably cover, but I don't love them. Yeah, I liked them before the year began. I don't love them right now. Everyone seems to have some holes. Everyone seems to have some problems. Then we go to the conference I wanted to have a conversation about. The conference that, can we call it this year's ACC? And that is the Big East. No one's paying attention to the Big East, but you should be. And you should have listened to me in the beginning of the year. In the beginning of the year, I sat back and I told you guys, I am putting Seton Hall as a Final Four team. And I was chuckled at it. Seton Hall's 21-7. First place in the Big East, number 13 team in the country, and that's an insult. They should be a top 10 team. Creighton is a top 10 team. They play tomorrow minus 5.5 against St. John's. Creighton is a number one team. They're playing some of the best basketball in the country. I might say they are playing the best basketball in the country after Gonzaga and Kansas. Creighton is right there. Creighton will be a top 10 team. And now with these losses, I think Creighton should jump over Florida State. You might argue that Creighton could jump over Duke. So Creighton could be 7-8 when we wake up on Tuesday, right? Creighton's a team. Villanova, I know they had a bad loss today, right? As a home favorite, 7.5-point favorite. They didn't look too good. Still, they came in number 12. So they got three top 25 teams right there. Three top 25 teams right there. Providence, 17 wins. Big wins. They've won four in a row. Do they sneak into the tournament? You know, it's going to be a tough one. I think they can. Providence is a team. We got three teams. Look, if you're in the top 25, you're making the tournament. Okay? So, you got three teams in the tournament. Providence, they got some big wins. Beat Villanova, beat Marquette, back-to-back beat Seton Hall. Three of the last four games, they beat Seton Hall, Marquette, and Villanova, all top 25 teams. They beat Butler and Creighton a week and a half ago, top 25 teams. Five of their last six wins have been against top 25 teams. Can an 18, 19, maybe 20-win Providence team get in? I think they can. I'm going to put them in. That's four teams in the Big East in the tournament. Let's keep going because I see more. What about Butler? 20-9 Butler. Butler's got 20 wins already, guys. I think you're a 20-win team in the Big East. Don't you almost have to go to the tournament? 20-win team. I know that they've lost the last four games. I get it. They've lost on the road to Seton Hall, on the road to Creighton. There's no shame in that. Do they have a big win on the season? That's kind of the problem. Now they've beaten the Purdue. They lost by one to Baylor. They've lost to some big names. They got DePaul. They got St. John's. They got at Xavier next. Well, they beat DePaul today. I'm sorry. They got St. John's and at Xavier. I think that they are going to get in at 20-9. 20-9 record, I think, gets you in. So I'm going out there. I'm saying the three top 25 teams, sure, they're in. I'm saying Providence, yeah, I'm putting them in. I got five teams in with Butler. How about Marquette? Marquette's got 18 wins. Marquette is a team that is certainly on the bubble. Marquette is a team that you look back and you go, do they have that signature win that you need? Do they have that signature win? Well, they did beat Villanova earlier in the year. All right. That's a good win. They did beat Butler. Okay, that's two good wins. But they don't have a lot of good wins here as they have lost four of the last five. They lost to Villanova, Creighton, and Seton Hall. DePaul and St. John's, two games on the road before the tournament. If they get to 20 wins, if they beat the two teams that they're supposed to beat, which is DePaul and St. John's, if they beat those two teams and get to 20, I think they are. So we're talking about six teams in the Big East. You want to start talking about Xavier, who plays tomorrow? Xavier's got 18 wins already. Xavier plays tomorrow. Now, I know they had a rough start to the season, but they've rounded into form here. Right? They have won five of their last seven games. They're not beating Villanova's, and they're not beating the Butlers, but they did beat Seton Hall, which is a nice signature win, especially as Seton Hall continues to win. Going back, they beat a Cincinnati team that will probably be in the tournament. They've got some decent wins. Again, if you make 20 wins, if you get to 20 wins in the Big East, I think you go. Xavier has a chance to go. We have an opportunity to see seven of the 10 teams in the Big East make the tournament, guys. This is the new ACC for this year. And I don't hear anybody talking about the Big East. Maybe because nobody believes they can win the championship. And Xavier, Marquette, Butler, Providence, I don't think they have a chance. Does Villanova? Look, I made a lot of money on Villanova. I picked them before the year, both of their championship years in the last little run here that they've had. I don't think they have the guns to do it this year. Seton Hall? The reason why I like Seton Hall so much is because they're a senior-laden team. I didn't expect them to have this great of a season during the regular season. I think they've got hot during the conference tournament, during their NCAA conference tournament, and see them really streak. Seton Hall and Creighton, yeah, Creighton's playing some really, really good basketball. I don't know if they're peaking a little early, but they're playing some really good basketball. I think they're two contenders right now that nobody's talking about. Coming into today, they're ranked 13 and number 10. They'll both be inside the top 10 or very close to it. I think Seton Hall gets to 10. Creighton probably gets to 6 or 7. And they're going to start getting some attention. And they should start getting some attention. What seed are we looking at? Whoever wins the Big East in a year like this, we're not going to get them a number one. I don't know who's going to get the number ones. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I don't think the Big East winner can get the number one, which is a shame. Can they get a two? I think they could get a two. I think Seton Hall gets probably a three and Creighton could get a two. That's pretty good seeding. So I wanted to mention the Big East Conference because of how stacked it is and no one's talking about it. no one's talking about what the Big East can do, what the Big East is doing. Now, some of this could all fall by the wayside, right? Providence could have a bad couple of run here. Marquette, Xavier. I think we have an opportunity to get seven teams in the Big East. I think they're going to get six. I think either a Marquette, a Providence, or a Xavier is going to be left off. But I think they're going to get six. And the Big East tournament is going to be fantastic this year. I wanted to touch on the Big East. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come on back. Let's go through some of the other conferences, who I'm liking, who I think needs a couple of wins here, who somebody's not talking about. But I'm telling you, Seton Hall and Creighton, guys, go buy some tickets now. These two teams are playing really well. Creighton tomorrow, -5.5 against St. John's. I don't understand the line. Creighton is playing tremendous. I don't get the line. I don't give away free plays on the air. I'm telling you, I don't understand that line at all. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come on back, talk about a little bit more NCAA basketball. By the way, UNLV had a good game today as well. They're not tournament eligible unless they go out there and win Mountain West. And hey, with a weak San Diego State team out there, maybe they can. Talk about all that and more right after this. We'll be right back.
May I have your attention, please?
This is Heatwave Sports.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is...
Tom Barton.
Nah, dude. This is a real job. It's like teaching kids.
And now back to Heatwave Sports. Here's Tom Barton.
All right, guys. Back to you. Tom Barton. TomBartonSports.com. Heatwave Sports. About a half hour to go. About 35 minutes to go. We are talking a little college basketball. We will get into some Major League Baseball. Still taking... all of your questions, all of your calls, 876-1340, 876-1340, Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. I got some Dallas fans riled up, Cowboys fans riled up, where I kind of just brushed the team aside. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Dallas fans want Brady more than they want Dak, because all I said, guys, early on was that I just didn't believe that Dallas was going to let Dak go enough to go get Brady. And it seems some Dallas fans are a little angry at me for implying that. I don't really care one way or the other, guys, about Dallas. There's an infatuation on this show about Dallas, like on other shows. I just don't think that Dallas is better with for the long term with Brady. Do I think that here's an interesting scenario, though. Do I think the Dallas Cowboys have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl next year with Tom Brady? Yes. Yes, I do. I actually do. But I think it's a very, very short-lived, if they don't win it next year kind of thing, if they don't get it. I have been Tom Brady, one of his biggest supporters for a very long time. I'm not going to put myself up with like 50, right, these guys up in Boston. But on the national scope, I have been as big of a Tom Brady supporter as you could find. I have seen his skills diminish last year. I have watched him diminish. Now, do I believe that Tom Brady, just like I said about Drew Brees, do I believe when the going gets tough and playoff time comes, that's the guy I want? Absolutely. But last year, he was a little off. Just a little off. And this year, maybe he's a little bit more off. I think he's got enough to get by and enough to win a championship this season. I don't know if he's got enough to win a championship next year. When I'm talking about sitting back and 2 years older now, I just don't know. So the Dallas Cowboys are better off with Dak Prescott. Because I know that the Dallas Cowboys can win games with Dak Prescott, but I'm not sure they could win Super Bowl with Dak Prescott, where I'm pretty sure the Dallas Cowboys could win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, but only for next year. So it's a weird situation, the fact that Dallas fans are writing me. Maybe it's because you want that one Super Bowl, and I get it. You want that one Super Bowl, get it next year, but it's not like it's a guarantee. First of all, I think the Eagles are going to be very good in that division. You still have to go up against the Saints and Breeze and all that they do. You still have to go up against the team that was in the Super Bowl and had a chance to win the Super Bowl in the Niners. A lot of talent there. Russell Wilson, Seattle, going to still be there. The Rams were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're still going to be there. Still got Rodgers. Still got the Bears D. I mean, there's a lot going on in the NFC. In the AFC, you have the luring and lurking Patrick Mahomes. But outside of Mahomes, no team in the South scares you. Right? The Raiders, Denver, Chargers, they don't scare you. As much as the Bills improved, and I was on the Bills last year, the Bills don't scare you. And you could talk to me all you want about the Ravens, but I don't think the Ravens scare anyone. And I think Lamar Jackson will never have a season like he just had. Never. So in the NFC, you have a lot of competitive teams that, I don't want to say scare you, you know, maybe that's a wrong term, but a lot of competitive teams that you have to make you nervous. In the AFC, you have the big looming, uh-oh, it's Patrick Mahomes. But after him, you feel, yeah, we could beat these teams. I think Tom Brady could win a championship in Dallas next year, guys. I do. But I also believe that the best decision for Dallas is to pay Dak Prescott. All right, let's move on. Let's go back to college basketball. Chris Wynn wrote in and said he likes the Big Ten. And that's where I was going next. The Big Ten is really, really, really deep this year. The problem with the Big Ten is what kind of seeding are they going to get? You look at what happened to Maryland today. They were the number 9 team in the country coming into today. And what happened to them? They got destroyed at home by Michigan State. Now, Sparty is a team that I told you guys 2 weeks ago, watch out for. I was going to start making money on them. I was going to start going in on them. Michigan State looks good. But Michigan State came into the game ranked 22 or 23 in the country. I don't know if the Big Ten is going to get the good enough seed. You have to think this. Look, the number one seeds as of right now, the number one seeds are going to be, you know, Gonzaga, it's going to be Dayton, it's going to be Kansas, and it's probably going to be probably the ACC winner. Could maybe be Kentucky. Could maybe be the Big Ten winner. You know, it's going to be one of those. And I just named three, you know, possibilities, including San Diego State for the number one, for the number two seed. The 1-2-3 to me is generally decided. Where is the Big Ten? Is Maryland good enough if they win the Big Ten with the record that they have, even with this loss, to get a 3 seed? I mean, maybe. Maybe it's Maryland is your team, but you go down the list of the rest of the Big Ten here, you're talking about Penn State. What do you think Penn State gets? Penn State's not getting a 3. Penn State's not getting a 3, guys. They're maybe getting a 4. Penn State looks like a good 5 to me. Iowa, they look like a 5. Michigan, they look like a 5. And then you get Michigan State. They were 24 coming in. They just had a nice win against Maryland. Let's say they move up to like 20. 18, 19, 20. We'll say 19. Okay, we'll give them 19. They go out there and they win the Big Ten tournament. Where are they going to move up to? 14, 13? They're still looking at a 3. So, in the Big Ten, while it's a deep conference, and I like to bet on them, by the way, Chris, I'll be betting on the Big Ten come conference tournament time because they'll be lower seeds. But my problem with putting one of them in the Final Four or thinking they have a good run in them is the route is going to be tough to get there. What I look at with the Big Ten is Michigan State potentially, because of name recognition, because of their big win today, and if they go out there and they win the Big Ten tournament, they might be able to squeak into a 3, but I kind of see them as a 4. Maryland might be able to save the season here, might be able to save it all, turn them into a 3, but I kind of see them as a 4. And then you get the Iowas, the Michigans, I see them as 5s. I don't know if the Big Ten gets higher than a 4 or a 5, and you might be looking at a position where, you know, the voters go, you know what? We're going to give a 4, a couple of 5s, and then a couple of 6s. 5s and 6s, you know the betting strategy of 5 and 6s. You go against them. So I like the Big East, and I'm glad you mentioned the Big Ten so we could have a conversation about the Big Ten. But the Big Ten, to me, is just up against it because they don't have those good seedings that they're not going to have this year. I do think my top four teams right now, not the best teams in the country, the teams that I think Dayton secures the number one seed. I think Gonzaga secures a one seed. I think Kansas secures a one seed. That last seeding, it could be San Diego State. Begrudgingly, I say that because it shouldn't be, but it certainly could be because of what happened to Duke and Florida State today. If Duke and Florida State would have done their job, I'm saying, yeah, ACC winner's getting a one seed, but I'm not so sure anymore. I believe the Big East winner should get the one seed, but I don't think so. So we could have a Dayton, Gonzaga, and San Diego State. That's your four ones. That really could happen. And then the twos would be the ACC winner, the Big East winner, Kentucky, who I do think could still get a one seed. You know, Kentucky and maybe an ACC loser at that point, or a Big Ten, or a Big 12, runner up. And there are maybe Baylor squeaks in as a two. I don't see the Big Ten having enough because of Maryland. I think this is what we have to have a conversation with when you are in conference play. Sometimes you have to root for things that you don't want to root for. And then things fall into place. For you UNLV fans today, you watch UNLV look good again. Looks like the team's sort of rounding into form late. We heard what DeMond said. And things fall into place beautifully, don't you? Because everything in your being says root against San Diego State, and that's what you're going to have to do come the tournament time. The best thing to happen to the Mountain West Conference is San Diego State not winning the Mountain West Conference championship. Forget about the seeding and all that, because you could then get two teams in with an outside shot at three in a very weak conference. You might get three. Hey, all of a sudden, stuff's becoming weak, right? All of a sudden, you shut people up like me that have been bashing the conference all year because you're able to squeak three teams in. That is a real potential. We've got to have San Diego State go out there and not win the conference tournament because they're in no matter what. So sometimes things go good, sometimes they go bad. I know guys out there, and I know Chris Wynn is one of them. He's a big Michigan State fan. Michigan State winning today hurt the conference because your chance for a very high seed lied in Maryland. You wanted Maryland to basically go into the Big Ten conference tournament as a number 7-8 seed in the country. Right? They were 9 today. 7-8 seed in the country. Lose the Big Ten championship game to a team maybe like Michigan State. They move up into a good position. Maryland doesn't move down that much. You got a shot at a 2 seed. You got a shot at 2 or 3 seeds. Where the Big Ten stands right now, I just don't see it happening. I don't know if they get any higher than a 4. And I think that at best they're getting a 3. And I'm not sure myself that they could get a 3 seed. So when I start looking at seedings and I start looking at conferences and teams and all that, it matters. It matters if you're getting a 1 or 2. Now, the difference between a 1 and a 2 is very, very, very slim. The difference between a 1 and a 5 is massive. The difference between a 2 and a 5 is massive. I think in order to really believe that you have a chance to win this thing, you got to have a 1 or 2 or 3 seed. You get into that 4 spot, yeah, you got a shot, but it's going to be tough. You get into that 5 seed, now all of a sudden the percentages are massively against you. Massively against you. And this is one of the facts that I read off a couple of weeks ago when we discussed how much of a fallacy the idea that a Cinderella team and anyone can win in the field of 64, it's complete fallacy. It's completely made up. It's made up for the public to believe. There has been one team since 1967 that was not a Power 5 conference to win the NCAA title, and that was UNLV Rebels, who did things that we've never seen before. And that was, by the way, it feels like, people say 1995. I'm like, all right, that's like 10 years ago. That was, by the way, 1990. 2020. That's 30 years ago. Okay? So you look at the track record and the NCAA tournament, seeding starts to matter. It shouldn't. We wish it didn't. You want to convince yourself that seeding doesn't matter. Gamblers constantly go out there and they go, anybody can win. You know what? No, they can't. Not anybody can win because this is statistics and the numbers and the history show you that it's just not possible. The seeding matters. Where you play matters. Who you play absolutely matters. And there's a reason why 10 seeds don't really have a chance to win the championship. There's a reason why 12 seeds don't have a chance to win the championship. There's a reason why only 1-16 has ever won a first-round game. There's a reason for these things, guys. So don't go out there, whether you're betting or you're just a fan, don't go out there and start to believe the hype that seeding doesn't matter. So when you start to go out and you start to say, yeah, the Big Ten, they got a shot, a couple of good teams. You got about 3-4 good teams. I'm real interested to see where they're seeded, because if they're 5-6, it's a death knell. It's a death knell, 5-6. You can squeak into a 3, we have a conversation about some value. All right, guys, let's take a time out. Come on back. We're going to finish it up with a little bit of baseball. Got some injuries. Got my opinion. And there's an interesting prop bet out there that I'm jumping all over, and I don't understand the odds. I don't understand why I'm able to get such good odds, and I want you guys to take advantage of it as well. Take a time out. We'll be right back right here on Heat Wave Sports.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tom Barton.
Back here at Heat Wave Sports, everybody. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. I'm absolutely crushing it, by the way. Absolutely crushing it in NBA. 24-11 on the season. I'm killing it. 24-11, I got a couple of those money line underdogs too. 24-11 this year in the NBA. I want to just, before we get into talk to baseball, because I talk about it all the time, how good I do in baseball season. And usually, I have my seasons, how they progress. Usually in the NBA, you guys heard me for now. 10 years now, you've heard me talk about how I start with the NBA. I usually start out pretty hot. Middle of the season, I get a little bit cold, and then I turn it up and just absolutely go crazy in the playoffs and playoff totals. I love. This year, I'm hot now. So you want to jump on, you want to get on board at TomBartonSports.com. Get on board right now. You're going to get 30 days of every play I select in every sport. So you're going to get my college basketball. You'll get my very rare, but you will get my NHL, and you'll get Major League Baseball. I'm not playing spring training games quite yet, but any day, as soon as the information comes, I will absolutely, absolutely jump on that. And my NBA thought really quick is, what a flex by the Clippers. I'm a guy that thinks that Denver does not get enough credit. I don't think the Denver Nuggets get enough credit for anything they do. I like them. Last night, and I got the loss. I was 24-10 going into that game. I liked them last night, plus the 6. And the Clippers just, when the Clippers want to flex, man, they flex. And you can talk to me about LeBron, and Zion is on, and Morant, and there's distractions, and Boston has Tatum looking good. It just almost seems like the Clippers can win when they just decide they want to win. And I know that in the East you got Giannis, and I think Giannis flies through, and the Bucks pretty much fly through right up until the Eastern Conference Championship. But the Clippers have convinced me. I didn't believe in the Clippers. I didn't. And all this, you know, time management and load management and time off and taking it all is annoying to me, and it's irritating, but when they want to flex, man, can they flex? And they flexed last night, and they just really look really, really good. Also, really quick, I know we don't talk a ton of NHL here. I love the move by Rob Lerner. I know I went out and I said it could be huge. And, you know, people jumped on me a little bit and said, well, let's hope that it's not huge, because that means that he's a backup. Look, I'm just a big fan. I'm not an Islanders fan, but this guy is a good guy. If you know his story, you know his great story. And I watched him stand on his head last year, all year long. I did the show leading into the Islanders games, and it was a direct show right before the Islanders games, kind of a little bit of pregame right there, last couple of minutes and whatnot. And I watched every Islander game last year. This guy stood on his head He was fantastic in the playoffs. So I do think that's going to be good. Also, some NHL news. Stamkos is out 6 to 8 weeks, which means he'll miss the rest of the regular season. Ho-hum, nobody in Tampa Bay cares. But it's looking like he might also miss the first round and potentially the second round of the playoffs. You start to care when you hear playoffs. You start to go, yeah, this is a Tampa Bay team that fell flat on their face last year. They had everything in front of them. All-time epic team fell flat on their face. And you start to get a little bit concerned, a little bit worried. If you're Tampa Bay, they like this guy for not only what he gives you on the ice, but also his leadership quality. I think it's going to take a little bit of a toll. You know, it was a worry about Tampa Bay. It really was. You know, what happened to them last year? You didn't have any answers. That first round of the playoffs, if I'm a betting guy, then before this injury, I'm going, I'm taking everything I have and putting on Tampa Bay. And I can't see them doing it 2 years in a row. But this injury is massive. It's a massive injury, guys. So just a little NHL news. All right, let's get into a little bit of Major League Baseball. I promise you I have a prop bet to talk about. A prop bet came out at Caesars this week. And the prop bet is, will the Los Angeles Dodgers or the New York Yankees win it all? Plus 105 at Caesars says yes. Oh. Minus 125 for no. Guys, you know, I have right now just the odds in front of me to win the World Series. And you look at it and you go, how do you not jump on either the Yankees or the Dodgers to win the World Series? How do you not go out there and take a shot on them? You know, you have the Yankees to win the World Series right now at plus 300. The Dodgers to win the World Series right now at plus 300. Either one of them is plus 105. Now, if you took $100 on the Yankees to win the World Series and the Dodgers to win the World Series separately, okay, and one of them won and one of them lost. Well, if you took $100, you're going to win $300. We'll say the Yankees win because I want to say that. You put $100 on the Yankees to win $300, but you lose $100 on the Dodgers, so you're plus $200. Why in the hell would anybody take plus 105? So I like the best because, yeah, I think the Yankees or the Dodgers might win the World Series, but why would anybody take plus 105? I'm sorry, Caesars. Anybody from Caesars listening? This is what drives me nuts about the sports betting industry, is that the sports books just know that people are not going to go do their homework. They're not going to do their research. If you like the Yankees or the Dodgers to win the World Series, just take them both, plus the 300. And as a matter of fact, plus 300 is a little weak. I've seen the plus 400 in a lot of spots, plus 350, plus 400, especially with the news of the Yankees' injuries. Why would you just take that? Take 300. You're just giving up $100. The odds make no sense to go get 105. This is how the sports books kind of get you. They play on the people that are going to walk up and go, ooh, that's an exotic future. I'll take that. And they're leaving money on the table. So don't let them leave money on the table. Don't do it. Go out there. Now, with that being said, and I told you I do like the Yankees. Before the year, I gave him to you way back when. I gave him to you before the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, and I told you to take him at 6-1. All the way down to 3-1. But there are a lot of concerns with New York. Luis Severino is out for the season. Tommy John surgery. Bad, bad situation. This is pretty massive for the New York Yankees. Can J.A. Happ, Debbie Garcia, Jordan Montgomery, Jonathan Loaisiga, can they all step in and give the Yankees what they need over the course of the season? Absolutely. The Yankees needed Severino for the playoffs. And a rotation of Gerrit Cole, number one, Tanaka, number two, and James Paxton, number three, looks very, very good. It looks very, very good. But Severino was that X factor. He was that guy that, oh, my goodness, you get a 1-1. As good as Tanaka has been during the playoffs, this guy's only been held together. And he was with the Tommy John surgery about 5 years ago, right? When he signed with the Yankees, let's get Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. James Paxton's right now probably going to miss opening day. So they got problems. They got injuries. Gerrit Cole signing looks better and better, by the way, after every single at-bat. How about, speaking at-bat, Giancarlo Stanton, it's announced he's going to miss opening day. Aaron Judge, in danger of missing opening day. I am a huge Aaron Judge fan. And when the Giancarlo Stanton move was made, I said, you know what, the Yankees don't need him, but I understand the move. You almost had to make the move. So I'm not going to get on Cashman for that. But there is something to be said about these players that are just this big, 6'7", 280, 6'6", 260. When you are this big and this just absolutely mammoth, you're going to get hurt. Now, you hear the story all the time, in the conversation all the time, you know, well, baseball is not a tough sport. Oh, yeah, they get a splinter and you know, they're out to 2 weeks. Baseball is a grueling, grueling sport. You know, they play 162 games, guys, in sweltering heat outdoors. It is a grueling sport. And if you're a big-bodied dude like Stanton and Judge, you're going to have knee problems, you're going to have back problems, you're going to have shoulder. You're going to have problems because your body's not supposed to be moving. This kind of fashion. Your body's not supposed to be doing these things. They are. So when you see big guys go down like that, I'm starting to just be under the belief that they're always going to kind of be hurt. With that being said, Yankees are a stacked team. But sometimes you have to take that into consideration. And where are the Yankees? Are they, when we do our preview, me and Tim sit down and do our preview. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking the New York Yankees to win the World Series. I have a ticket on them at 6-1 to win the World Series. That's 3-1. I'm not touching it anymore. Their value has gone down. If they had any value to begin with, their value is completely erased. And you throw in these injuries, it's a problem. All right, guys, I want to say thank Michael Renz over at Chat Sports, Jose Vellante, jumping on board, Chris Wynn, always texting away, being a part of the show. Damon Cotton, thank you very much for pulling that clip and doing a great job as always. Damon, always just producer extraordinaire on the other side of the glass. TomBartonSports.com, guys, jump on board. If you jump on today, it's March 1st, jump on today, you're going to get the entire month of March. That is NCAA tournament time. You'll get every game I give out in the first and second rounds, all of it for less than $100. And unlike other sports handicappers out there, I'm not coming into you for commission. I'm not coming into you for the upsell. I'm not coming into you for another package. Every play I give out, you get. I had a level 4 play again today and another winner. Level 4 plays right now, won 6 level 4 plays in a row. It's the highest level I have. 6 in the last 3 months. They don't come around often, but when they do, they absolutely hit. You want to jump on TomBartonSports.com. Also, go to SportsGarden.com. We had Billy Ripken on last week. I want to go check out that interview. Really good stuff there by Billy Ripken. We talked about how many times the Astros were going to get hit in a season. I got Billy's take on that as well. I'm going to tonight, Las Vegas. We'll see. Maybe next time we talk, Tom Brady wearing black and silver. I don't know about that. Maybe he's wearing something other than the Patriots. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Listen to Tim Unglesby. He'll be here at 10 o'clock. Have a good night, Las Vegas.